It's really a privilege to be here and continue to do life with Len and Lori, their family, and you as their family, and our local church. We look forward to really great things ahead together. We're obviously different churches, but we're the same. Same heart for Jesus and the kingdom, you know? And so it's really a privilege to have Erwin here. Also sharing, he's from local, but part of the Church of the Nations family internationally. Was in Jeffreys Bay for 12 years as the worship pastor, arts, creative, everything. The guy's a phenomenally gifted man with incredible insight into worship. And so I'm going to be shorter than Erwin is. I want to honor Erwin and give him space. Of course, I was excited when Nicole said, she just feels it's about praise because that's what I'm going to speak to you about. And if Erwin isn't, I mean, he obviously missed the boat. So, yeah. And you can tell who watched the rugby game last night because you look a little tired. Yeah. Yeah, so it's great to set aside weekends to dive into things around the areas of worship. Worship is such a passion of my heart, always has been. It's always been how we've done church. A focus is worship. So I want to share with you a fundamental understanding of who we are as worshipers and worship leaders this morning. I believe God wants to shift things or put a new start line for each one of us that feel called into the area of leading worship, or we see ourselves as a worshiper. I love the generations that are here. This isn't a message to like young people or anything like that. It's a message to the church. And so I just want to talk about how important lighting is. No, I'm not going to. Right. Yeah. Father, I ask this morning that as we set aside time to jump into your word, that you would speak, Lord, that you would shift our hearts, that we would understand our place, our position in this, and that we would run forward from this moment with new mindsets and new methods even, and new revelation of what it means to be a worshiper and a worship leader, one called to a tribe that will step out. So we honor you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a word, really, I think, that is an activation word and requires a response. So I'm going to ask for a response at the end. And when I was a young man, I was 12 years old, I had felt called to ministry, but I really rebelled against it because my dad was a pastor, and I saw all the stuff that went with that. And so I was running from God, not running towards what he called me to. Until I went to this youth conference, and Rich Wilkerson was the speaker, and he preached this message about being part of the army of God, you know, and being called to the ministry and everything, and I just knew he was talking to me. And then I was kind of one of those guys that tried to be cool and tried to be all calm and put together, but he called for this response. And I'm glad that I did, because when I did, something broke off of me. So I'm at a big youth conference with all of my friends from Central Pentecostal, Tabernacle, and back in the day, which is now something else, don't know. And he said, if you feel God is speaking to you this morning, then I want you to stand up right where you are, and you say your first name, Bishop, which was my name, reporting for duty, Lord, sir. And so I was so moved, and it was so out of character for me. I stood up first, and there's a couple thousand young people, and I screamed at the top of my lungs, Bishop, reporting for duty, Lord, sir. And then I thought, man, I must have looked like an idiot. But I didn't care, because something got freed within me to pursue what God had for me. And so I'm trusting that this morning you'll have the courage to respond in a similar way at the end. So what I want to speak to you about this morning is your voice needs to be heard. Your voice needs to be heard. You know, the enemy knows that if he can silence the worshipers, he will stop the breakthrough. He knows if he can silence the worshipers, he will stop the breakthrough. Praise and prayer always precede not breakthrough, precede breakthrough. Not because we earn it by doing these things, but because praise invites the habitation of who he is. He inhabits the praises of his people. So as worshipers, when we get the voice of the Lord, when we get the declaration of the Lord, we speak forth and we draw in the breakthrough of the Spirit that people are longing for, that God is wishing to give. Amen? So your voice must be heard. It's like a 12-string guitar. When someone holds the cording, we should ask Lisa to explain it. She plays guitar, or Maddie, he plays guitar very well, both of them. Like a 12-string guitar has many notes, and when the person playing it puts their fingers and all, and they strum it, all of those notes, they fit together to form this beautiful sound. Or a piano with 88 keys, every key plays a role in releasing the beauty of the sound that the person that invented the piano intended it for it to make. Or like a choir of 100 or 1,000 people with all the beautiful melodies and all the harmonies and the different parts and the tenors and the bass and the sopranos and the altos. See, I know a few things, see? And they all sing together and they express the heart of the person that wrote the song and make it beautiful and it touches people's hearts. So we, in the same way as worshipers, our voices must be heard for the sound of the Lord to be fully released in the earth. Amen? So I believe he's calling each one of us to find that voice within us and to release it as he speaks through us. I really believe God is saying that the days of singing nice songs for nice people is finished. It's time for the worshipers to arise and make war through our high praise and our declarative worship. It's time to come into alignment with the sound of heaven and release it into the earth. Amen? It's time to go beyond the lyrics and the notes and find the heart of God, the declaration of God, and the wind of the Spirit in each lyric, each chord progression, each note, and step into it fully and release what God is saying. Worship isn't just about singing songs. It's about releasing and coming into alignment with the voice of the Lord so that his purposes will be accomplished in our midst. Amen. I'm glad you're with me. You know, we often say in the beginning of, we pray this in the beginning, have your way, Lord, have your way, you know. But we often have a hard time submitting it to it when he tries to have his way. Now, you know, the most beautiful and the most terrible thing at the same time is the most beautiful gift he gave you is your will. You ready? He gives us a choice. Your will is part of your soul. When a soul is not submitted, it's a terrible thing. And when it is, it's a beautiful thing. Why? Because a submitted soul surrenders to the things of the Spirit and to the ways of God. As worshipers, we need to live life by the Spirit, in step with the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit. Now, I don't know if you've heard spirit, soul, and body teaching, but when we are born again, our spirit man is completely born again of an incorruptible seed made in the image of our Almighty Creator. We are perfectly and most fully like him as a seed born of something that's incorruptible. And then the process of our silly will is the process of it submitting to the headship of the Spirit in our lives. And many of us live from the place of our soul, wanting our spirit to submit to our desires, to our wants, to our likes, to our dislikes. And that's when we get into trouble, because then we start making decisions from a place of our unsubmitted mind, will, and emotion to the things of God, and it leads us astray, and it leaves the door open for the flesh. But when we live from a place of a surrendered spirit, a new impregnated spirit by the seed of God within us, and our soul dies to itself and emerges in life submitted to our spirit, the decisions we make, the prayers we pray, the songs we sing carry the very life of the kingdom of God. That's when the flesh surrenders and is healed and is made whole and is made well. I could go on this one for a long time, but I'm not going to. The Lord wants to take us to new, all of us, to new levels of understanding and focus in all of this. Allow him to change your methods and your mindset about praise and about worship this weekend. Praise and worship is a strategic weapon God has given us. And us as a tribe of worshipers, we need to approach this with diligence and focus. We're not just choosing songs. We're choosing the heart of the Father, the voice of the Father, and releasing what he has for the people as worshipers and worship leaders. Now, I just made a statement, and I don't know. Oh, no, I didn't make a statement. I skipped that part. I'll go back and make that statement. So have your way, Lord. Now, I'm not talking about chaos, because usually that's when we just throw the reins off. that's maybe what we think we might get. I'm not talking about chaos, because the kingdom of God is an ordered kingdom, but I'm talking about being far more diligent as worshipers and worship leaders at being solely focused on finding the heart of God and the wind of the Spirit and living from that place. Why? Because the worshipers, Judah goes first. It's a beautiful invitation, and it's a beautiful privilege, and it's a beautiful responsibility. If it's about getting a chance to be on a stage and sing a few songs so people like your voice and they recognize who you are, maybe you should go on America's Got Talent. Because that's not what worship leading is. It's not about the stage. It's not about the giftedness. It's about the surrendered life to the ways of God, to the will of God, to the voice of God, so that we can stand in that calling, in that beautiful responsibility he's given us, and bring people to a place of seeing the kingdom and seeing the king like they've never seen him before, so the breakthrough of God can manifest. So I just made a statement. Judah goes first. Let me support that statement. Numbers chapter 10, beginning in verse 1 through 16. And I just love, I love, I love, I love how God is so strategic in how he does things. And I think we need to be the same. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make 2 silver trumpets of hammered work, you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp." So as we read through this, you're going to see this beautiful strategy God gives for moving his people. "And when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the chiefs, the head of the tribes of Israel, shall gather themselves to you. When you blow an alarm, the camps that are on the east side shall set out. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be blown whenever they are to be set out." Now, I don't know if you've ever studied the word alarm or sound the alarm biblically. It's ridiculously powerful. How the voice of the Lord sounds an alarm through a trumpet or a horn or whatever. It's the shout of God. It's the calling of God to go forward. It's a really, really great thing to study. Verse 7, "But when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow a long blast, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets." There's a lot of sound going on here. "The trumpets shall be to you for a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies." We don't sound enough alarms in the church anymore. Verse, "On the day of your..." Oh, no, I just hit the wrong thing and went way down. "On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder to you before your God. I am the Lord your God." Chapter 10, verse 1. Let me go back. I read that. I doubled up on my copy-paste. Verse 11. "In the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month..." So do you know biblically what the numbers 2, second month, 2, and the 20th day, 20, mean? I don't either. Sometimes we dig too deep for stuff. "In the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month," that's 24, "the cloud lifted from over the tabernacle of the testimony, and the people of Israel set out by stages from the wilderness of Sinai." See the movement. "And the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. They set out for the first time at the command of the Lord by Moses. The standard of the camp of the people of Judah set out first by their companies, and over their company was Nashon, the son of Abinadab, and over the company of the tribe of the people of Abinadab, and over the company of the tribe of the people of Issachar was Nethanel, the son of Zuar, and over the company of the tribe of the people of Zebulun was Eliab, the son of Helon." So let me go back to this, verse 13. "They set out for the first time at the command of the Lord by Moses. The standard of the camp of the people of Judah set out first." The name Judah means praise. And it seems that whenever the Lord wants to move us ahead, We have to begin with praise. We have to begin with the worshipers, the worship leaders, those called to worship, those called to draw people into his presence. Whenever the camp of Israel would begin a journey, Judah was the first tribe to move. It was only after the tribe of Judah, along with Issachar and Zebulun, proceeded forward that the tabernacle, the presence of God, would be moved. In order to move ahead with God, you have to start with praise. Consider the following. Judah means praise. Issachar signifies prophetic. The tribe of Issachar understood the times and the seasons. You can read that in 1 Chronicles 12:32. And Zebulun means gift or honor from Genesis 30, verse 20. So when we begin to praise, prophetic anointing and understanding are released. We will be able to move with pure motives then. Zebulun also refers to wealth. You could say that as we begin with praise, not only does God release prophetic understanding and cause us to recognize him as the source of our strength, but he also activates the necessary resources to begin to rise up as well to accomplish the mission before us. Yes, beginning with praise is important. Praise also must come first when we engage in spiritual warfare. Amen? The importance of praise. The importance of praise. The importance of praise because he's worthy. The lesson is simple. If we want to step into the inheritance of the Lord and what he has for us and his people, then we need to let him teach us new ways of praising and worshiping. We need to allow him to shift us from where we are to where he wants us to be. Are you awake? Are you listening? Again, in Judges chapter 20, verse 18, when Israel needed to punish the wicked and restore God's order, seems necessary in our nation. The Lord said that Judah must lead the tribes into battle. Could it be that in a desperate time in Canada, where so much is running amok, to sound 51 years old, that God's heart is for a new emergence of a church that knows how to praise him, that knows how to find his voice and declare the goodness and the breakthrough of the kingdom over a nation that is going the wrong direction quickly, where minority groups lobbying the government have more say than groups that should have say, where the values of our nation are degrading quickly to a place where people don't want to raise their children here because they don't feel safe? Could it be that it's a new season of an uprising and an understanding of praise in Jesus' name? Likewise, whenever we encounter injustice and rebellion, thank you very much, Nicole, for dancing. We need to rise up in praise and see God's solution come into that situation. There's no other way. We can't work harder to release it. We praise him. We worship him. So the manifest presence of God can move. The declaration of kingdom can move. When we follow Holy Spirit in praise and prophetic acts like dancing, strongholds, whether they are on a personal or a regional level, will come down. We have to believe it's who we are. We have to start to believe the strength and the power of the kingdom that we preach. We have to stop begging God for what he has done and believe he's doing it. We spend too much time in our worship trying to get to a place of intimacy with Holy Spirit when we should show up in that place so that we can accomplish the assignment he has for us when we gather together. I believe that there's a day of assignment coming for the church where we gather not just to gather so we can see each other, but there's a clear assignment of the Lord for when we gather together and we step into it and we make war through declaration and high praise and releasing the voice of the kingdom of God so the church will advance and the kingdom will advance. It can't be the same. I'm having fun, by the way. The Lord wants to take us to new levels. Allow him to change your mindsets and your methods in praise and worship. Judah shall go first. Yeah. Judah shall go first. The name Judah means praise. And it seems that whenever God wants to move us, it's the worshipers that are alerted to go. You have a voice that needs to be heard. I'm just going to reread something because I missed it and I'd like to say something, add something to it. Beginning with praise is important. Praise must also come first when we engage in spiritual warfare. I talked about it. When it was time for the tribes of Israel to take their inheritance, the Lord stated Judah needed to go first. And then again, in Judges 20, same thing. And it's the same for us. Whenever we encounter injustice and rebellion, we need to rise up and praise and see God's solution come into our situation. But for the most part, this is the part I missed and I wanted to say it. But for the most part, the Canadian church's reaction to rebellion and injustice is silence. Over decades of lukewarmness and singing nice songs, we've lost our voice. And if anyone makes a peep, I'm going to be careful here. How careful should I be? We're accused of hatred. You have a voice that needs to be heard. The enemy knows that if he can keep you silent, he can take away your voice, intimidate you into being fully muted, and the breakthroughs won't come, and it's time for the church to find her voice again. I lived in Africa for some years, and one thing I learned is that one of the key ways of dealing with strongholds is through praise. We did a lot of church planting in remote village areas, and I just loved how the opposition to what God was doing would come, and the people would gather and would praise God with everything that they had. For hours, they would go, and then God would release them into a time of prayer, and the enemy would scatter and make way for the kingdom to come, for the light to shine. When I follow Holy Spirit in praise and prophetic acts, strongholds, whether they're personal or regional, will come down. One more scripture that you're all familiar with, and then I'm done. Acts 16, starting in verse 16. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out. I'm going to read the whole story just so you have the whole story fresh, because you know the result, and I don't want to just give you the end. I want to give you the story. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Oh my goodness, how long could we endure that? Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned to her, and he said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. Verse 19, but when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. Now, the only thing that's not happening today that happened here is that people are getting dragged before rulers. But the other thing, profiting off of demonic things, is happening all around us. No response. But. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city." Good for them. They advocate customs that are joined in attack. That are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. Sounds too familiar. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. We don't know what that means. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, for all of us, the story is just over right there. Sounds harsh, right? About midnight, Paul and Silas, who understood this, were praying and singing hymns, which means praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights, and he rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I love it. I love it. How praise brings the shaking. Praise brings the breakthrough. Praise brings the salvation. Praise brings what we're looking for. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their wounds. There's the honor. There's the honor from Numbers. There's the praise. There's the prophetic insight. There's the honor. Love it. And he was baptized at once, he and all of his family. Then he brought them up into his house, and he set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Why? Because in the face of everything that wasn't right, they chose to praise him. They chose to lift their voice to him. Friends, it's time for this type of praise. When we align ourselves with the sound of heaven and we release it, and his response, his response will be to come into our situation, into our communities, into our cities, into our nations, and things will shake. Why? Because we've chosen to take our eyes off everything else and praise him with everything that we have, to find the sound of heaven, to find the declaration of the kingdom and release it, because it's why we're here. It's what we're called to do. I can't change a thing in my own strength. But if I live a submitted life to the ways of the Spirit, and I find what he's saying, and I yearn for what he is saying, and I praise him with everything that I have, the voice that comes forward through me and those that stand together with me will break and shake and change the nations. This is our position as worshipers. This is why he calls us to go out first, because when we praise, it breaks the ground for the release of the kingdom of God. Friends, your voice needs to be heard. It's time to release it. It's time to release it. It's time to release it. It's time for your voice to be heard. We have to get over thinking that we have to get to this place before we have anything to say, because you honestly don't have anything to say. It's only what he says that matters, not your opinions, not your complaints, not your struggles, although we all struggle. Jesus, release your voice through your people. So here's the response that I'm hoping I'll hear from you. And every time I believe that we ask for response, there needs to be accountability by the people standing in the room with you. That's why people shouldn't just come to an altar and go home. People should be in community. They should be in relationship. So when there's a response, we can hold one another accountable for a relationship. So in asking for a response, I'm not expecting, or maybe even desiring, for everyone to stand up, because there's an accountability before each other and before God. I'm not trying to scare you away from responding to the word at all, because we need to respond when he speaks, and I trust that God has spoken to you in some way through what I've said. But this is my response based on what I said at the very beginning. If you want to respond to this word, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand up where you are, and with the loudest voice you can, say, "Jesus, I hear the sound. I hear the call. I answer the call. My voice will be heard. Jesus, I hear the sound. I hear the call. I answer the call. My voice will be heard." And our response as a people here, as a community, as followers of Jesus, when you do that, we will shout at the top of our voices, "Amen!" as an agreement with you that taking your stand today and saying, "I answer the call, my voice will be heard, Lord. I'm searching, I'm seeking, I'm wanting to see your kingdom shift and break and change things. And I will not back down. I will be courageous to release that voice." And if that's you, then I want you to do that. "Jesus, I hear the sound. I hear the call. I answer the call. My voice will be heard. Jesus, I hear the sound. I hear the call. I answer the call. My voice will be heard. Jesus, I hear the sound. I hear the call. I answer the call. My voice will be heard." Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship him now. Jesus, worship you, Jesus. We lift up your name in this place. Our only desire is you, Lord. Our only desire is you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, I hear the sound. I hear the call. I answer the call. My voice will be heard. Jesus, I hear the sound. I hear the call. I answer the call. My voice will be heard. Jesus, I hear the sound. I hear the call. I answer the call. My voice will be heard. Thank you, Jesus. And together with a great shout, everybody said, Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, what you're doing in this place is beyond what we can accomplish. Do what only you can do. Accomplish only what you can accomplish. We submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, you would seal it in the hearts, the honest hearts of people that have responded this morning, that there would be an amen over their life if they have taken a step forward to respond to what you're saying. We love you, Jesus. We exalt your name in this place. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.